when it comes to following Jesus, Jesus has explained to us who he is and who he is in our life. But far too often, we as Christians misunderstand our relationship with Christ from the human standpoint. And we have a real hard time trying to figure out, okay, I'm human, I have a soul, and preachers are saying that I have a spirit. Well, we're saying it because you'll see in a moment the scripture that tells us this is the breakdown of who we are as individuals. The great problem, or one of a multiplicity of problems today in our Christian walk, is that we are not understanding that we are important to God. And that is a foreign thought. That thought did not come from God. Our Lord died for us, folks. He died for each one of us while we're still in the sinning situation. Even today, we understand, I don't care how long you've walked with the Lord, you sin. Sin is a part of our existence. Well, where will I ever go to be able to get away from sin? Well, you're not going to get away from it in church, so don't worry about that. It's going to be there. Well, I'm going to try this one. I'm going to try that one. How about trying Jesus? How about trying to look in our life and understand that each of us are created in the image of Almighty God, and we're going to even read about it. And God says, I love you. When God saved me, I said yes to Jesus Christ. Then I realized, after being saved, that I stay in a battle on the inside. Growing up before my call to ministry, I realized as a child growing up, I was a mess. I would go along with the crowd. Probably would today, but the crowd won't let me go along with them. Think of that. When the Lord touches your heart, you become a new creation. You become totally alive. Now, as you're looking at your title that I have here for us, is we are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Is that scriptural? Yes. I will read that scripture to you. But what I'm wanting to start with this morning, I want us to go from inside out, meaning spirit, soul, and body. For it is God's Spirit that moves us as Christians. Let me take your mind back to Genesis, the book of Genesis, the beginning. Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden. Perfect. Everything was perfect. Even at a point where God would walk in the garden with them. That's pretty perfect. Everything in their life was taken care of. They could eat anything in that garden they wanted to eat of. But then the Lord said, enjoy all that I've given you in this garden. But there is only one fruit I'm telling you to stay away from. And that tree is the tree of good and evil, knowledge of good and evil. Stay away from that tree. Now here's what he said next to them. For at the moment you partake, disobeying God, the moment you partake, you will surely die. You got that? Okay, the way that is written, we understand that God says that second you're going to die. That instant, you're going to die. Well, when God says it, count on it happening. Well, here's the problem that we have and that many have tried to deal with over the years. And the problem is this. They ate of the forbidden tree. But Adam lived to be 930 years old. Now that's pretty old. Even my 101-year-old mother would say, that's old. So what died? God's word is true. He said, an instant, you partake of it, you will die. What died in Adam and Eve was the spirit, the connection to God. And we would find throughout the scripture where the Spirit of God would descend upon the prophets, and the Spirit of God would be with them, and the Spirit of God then would leave. And the Spirit, they would be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit died in Adam and Eve that day. But the soul and the body continued to live. When the Spirit died, there had to be a time, according to God's plan, when His Spirit would once again enter the human race to stay, to live, to dwell. Are you with me? So at the beginning of what we call the New Testament, we see Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming in the flesh. Why? He came, for one part, to restore the brokenness of the first Adam, the Scripture says. And the Scripture refers to Jesus as the second Adam. So He comes to restore the human existence on planet Earth continually. And He came to restore in the way that it left. He came to restore His Spirit in the heart of each one. It is His Spirit that leads you to salvation. It is Him convicting us, our soul and body, of sin. So Jesus comes and Jesus says, I'm going to pour out on you. Well, when did that happen? It happened at the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God descended once more into the heart of man. So, Jesus comes to restore, not only for our salvation, but to restore us in a connection, direction with God. He came and fixed our circuit breaker. He came and made sure that the line was connected once again to Him through His Son, Jesus. As we listen, I want you to pay attention to what the Spirit is. The Spirit is our God connection. Is our God connection. Your spirit is the real you. Well, how do we know that, preacher? How do we know that our soul and our body? Okay, let's go back to Adam. When God formed the first man, the Scripture tells us that He formed from the dust of the ground, the body of Adam. But Adam's body was not animated. Adam's body was dead. There was no life in this body, so He creates this body. And then you will see where God breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. So Adam, from the breath of God, was activated by the breath of God, and that was called his soul. But without that activation, he would have just been dead. That's why you and I have to pay attention to our connection with the Lord. It's not, as Randy was alluding to, it is not your connection to a denomination. It is your relationship with the Lord our God. He said, I am going to give you my spirit. And as I've always said from the pulpit since God called me to preach, folks, we are of all generations most blessed. No generation ever throughout history has been given every opportunity as our generation has. We have been given in the United States of America what the rest of the world would call a Garden of Eden. And what is happening? A friend of mine, and his father was a dear friend of mine, last Sunday in the pulpit preaching God's word. And there needed to be two state troopers in uniform in the pulpit with him. Large church, plus plain clothes policemen in the congregation. Why? The push to get rid of the Spirit of God is on full force. Strike the shepherd, and the flock will scatter. Shut the mouth of the truth of God, and people will not know God. It is the spirit that we have within us. It's the real us. John 4, verse 24. God is spirit. Now listen to it. And his worshipers must worship, how? In spirit and in truth. God created us as a spirit. The only way that we can relate to God is in spirit and in truth. Therefore, we can only relate to him through our spirit, the real us. And God says, don't worry, I'll give you my spirit. Genesis 1, 27. So God created man in his own image. What's the image of God? Spirit. God is spirit. He has no form. He's not tangible. God is spirit. And he relates to us spiritually. And people say, what's that? Well, and I will say to them, that is God's will for the lives of all the human race. And the human race backs away from God's spirit. Well, then why do they say that? Because they said there is no God. Then why are they backing away from him if he's not real? Why are they turning away from him if they say he's fantasy? They let us believe in Santa Claus. And I know Santa Claus to be a Christian. I know that the heart of God dwells in the heart of his chosen. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So, folks, take the scripture at its word. We preachers, it doesn't... When we say, look, this is what the Lord says about same-sex marriage, you have to have protection to say it. And that's sad, that we cannot stand up and quote God's word, but we can stand up and quote any communist statement we feel comfortable with. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will stand for his truth. Don't you see it sort of a lonesome situation? There's one point of your life, folks. I don't care how large your family is, how many friends you may have. There's coming a point in your life to when those who love you can do nothing to help you. They are there. Everyone would do something if they could, but they can't. Why? Because we have an appointment. None of us know that appointed time. But I can tell you this. The Lord says, and the dust, the body, will return back to earth, but the spirit will return to him who gave it. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, 24. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Now here it is. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Okay, listen to the focus here. God wants us to understand who we are, but he also wants us to know that through our understanding that he is going to be with us. You know I'm spiritual, but I do not always speak spiritual or walk spiritual. And people who tell me that they do on a daily basis, they have never invited me to walk. And if they did, I wouldn't. You know why? You and I are individual Christians led by God for a specific task that only you can do. I can only join a group of Christians, but I can only do what God's called me to do. But as the body of Christ, there's no need for me to look to do what God's called you to do. For you and I must follow the leadership of God's Spirit. Because I am spiritual and you are spiritual. If you've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, you are spiritual. Many spirits are dead. As a matter of fact, it is the Word of God. When you're looking at the Word of God, says that His truth, His Word, is like a double-edged sword, separating soul from spirit. Read that. It's a separation. So your soul and your spirit can be separated. And God says that it is His Word that can do it. Because if His Word can bring us together spiritually, the lack of His Word can separate us. And the Lord says, Larry Pete and the rest of you, you can't do what I'm asking you to do. You cannot hold it together. But you have my spirit, and he says that he will do it for us. That's in the 1 Thessalonians 5:23, last part of 24. He says he will do it. Says, I love you that much. I love you as much as I did in the creation of Adam and Eve, and I gave it all to them. I love you, America, so much that I have given your nation more than any nation has ever known. Power, love, relaxation. Boys, if we get any more relaxed, it's not going to just be the pastor and a few others sitting in a lounge chair pitching the belly back and forth. That's what's going on now. We're not falling through with our part. I listen to the emails I get, and it really breaks my heart when I hear folks saying, well, your church just does not have that much to offer to my youth. You got to bring them first. You need to have them here first. So you bring them. And then you build from there. You focus on what you can do. Yes, but my child is really into electronics. That's great. Folks, we even have a personal Wi-Fi right here set up for the guests of our church. And I've told Webster and the gang, I said, you watch, and now if they're playing a game, push the button. But if they're getting out their tablets for their Bible, that's what it is. Sure, we've got great electronic geeks. One of them sits right here. But God says, I want to make a difference. I'm giving you America. That's the Garden of Eden in our era. America. How do I know that? People from all the other nations are trying to get here. And many are just storming in to do what? To keep us from becoming continuing to become a great nation. Oh, we're going to America because they offer so much. America offered so much because of a gift from Almighty God. Not the wisdom of man, but the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And God says, I will give you the wisdom. But when we misuse the wisdom of God, the same God that gave it to us, can also make us blind to it. Do we love the world more than we love God? Well, talk to someone who is getting ready, as the doctors say, to leave this world. You ask that individual, is your relationship with God important? Yeah, because I'm getting ready to go meet him. Well, yeah, it's important when you first met him. In our Garden of Eden, the United States of America, we've been given the freedom. And we blasphemed God, kicked him out of school. We're not even allowed to pray in Jesus' name. I don't know how many Christians even pay attention to them on that. But I can tell you, when you break that rule, they do not invite you back to pray. But prayer is no good unless it goes to the Creator, Jesus Christ. Okay, here's our soul. Our inward being, our real us, we are spirit. Only something spiritual can come in the presence of God. Remember, God is spirit. So therefore, the real us, right here in the middle, that if you'll notice on your diagram, you'll see I got the heart. That is your heart. When you listen to the scripture, this heart that we have right here in our chest, this heart pumps blood. The heart that God is speaking of is the blood. That is Jesus. That is us being molded into his image. 100% spirit, 100% human, to show us the end is there is no end because we're spirit. Soul is our personality, our will, or our mind. The soul, look around that on the soul. Personality, it's your mind, it's your thinking, your reasoning, your will, your choices, even the endocrine system is the soul. The five senses is a soul. So God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. From the breath of God, God gave us our soul. And God says, I want you to use the soul I'm giving you. So I want you to think properly. I want you to act with love. I want you to work on your personality so that you can lead folk to me. Romans 8, 6, and 7. The mind of sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit. Ah, so that means that God gave us a spirit that can truly control the soul, the mind. So if the Spirit is not controlling my mind will go back to the sinful conditions. And you battle it on a daily basis. That's why the Lord said, I can do it. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Now listen, nor can it do so. So the living soul, the soul, that's the part that truly animates us. That's from the physical part. I'm getting to that in a second, the body. But that's the part, our soul, is what our spirit talks to. That's your conscience, if you want to call it that. But you got to remember that the spirit happens to be the center of who you are and your connection to God. It's your purpose in life. It's the love that you have, the godly love. The last is the body. Go from spirit to our soul, which surrounds And then we go to the body, the function, the vehicle. You hear me saying the vehicle all the time. Okay, that's the body. But remember, the body is dead. Without the spirit, the body is dead. And when God created Adam, here's Adam stretched out dead. And he brought the dead to life. When God breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. Body dead, the breath of God gives him that soul. But folks, the soul alone, the animation of us, what makes us think in all of this, the brain is the soul. The brain is going to be the body. But the soul itself deals with our mind, the in-depthness of it. Can anyone, aren't you glad nobody can read your mind? Yeah. I don't care who they are. Aren't you glad they can't read your mind? Because our mind wanders. Any of you ever have trouble with your mind just wandering? Do you ever get in prayer and get in study and you've studied and you prayed and all of a sudden you realize you're staring at a computer Bible or whatever and you think, what time is it? Or fall asleep. That's what you got to watch after when you go, when you get on your knees to pray and it gets too comfortable and you hear somebody snoring, that means that they, through some kind of peace, have fallen asleep. We fall asleep on God all the time. He never sleeps because he's concerned about who we are. Colossians 1, 21, 22. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. What was that? It was because our spirit died. Adam's spirit died. His direct connection to God had died. Because God said, the moment you eat, you will surely die. So we know it was the spirit. Once you were alienated from God, look at Adam, and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you. How? By Christ's physical body. Remember, the body was dead of Adam. By Christ's physical body, dead. Adam, the first Adam. Jesus, the Bible says, the second Adam. The second Adam came to revive the true person that you are. God said, I'm giving you my spirit again. Strange, 2,000 years ago, God reactivated whosoever will come. And now, in the wealthiest nation of the world, we've refused to give him thanks. That means if it continues, we will collapse. But is there hope? Yeah, sure there's hope. Our hope is still in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the Spirit of God within us. But until we activate this physical body to truly walk with Christ, we will watch families and all continue to crumble. Same-sex marriage upheld. Abortion, selling, I won't say that because of children in here, but it is the selling of parts of children. You think God's not paying attention? So what can I do? Christ physically came in his body through death, to present you holy. Jesus came. Adam died 930 years later in his body, physically died. That meant his body and soul were gone. But the spirit and serving the Lord remains. And the Lord came, Jesus Christ, in a physical body through death. He had to die. Remember Adam, the first one, had to die because of his sin to present you holy, set apart for God's service in his sight. Now listen to this one. You tell me it's not the Garden of Eden. Without blemish and free from accusation. You know that you cannot be accused of anything in heaven? Do you know when you belong to the Lord, the only accusations you're going to have to put up with are the ones you have down here on earth? In heaven, God says. What makes anybody think that God would turn away his own spirit? You got it? And the Lord says, as a human being, you're going to mess it up, but I will do it for you. That's 1 Thessalonians. I will do it for you. Meaning that's how strong the Spirit is that leads us. Jesus is coming. Sadly, the church is asleep. Sadly, we're watching a world in war. So many wars going on at this time, we have no idea. We're watching Christians being beheaded, Christians being crucified, and yet you hear nothing, very little of it, on the regular TV stations. Why? Because we don't want to anger or upset anybody. Well, God's not exactly happy with the situation. And God has called us to make a difference. What are we afraid of? Somebody's going to kill us? Folks, that's the least of my worries. I know I'm heaven bound. That's not a worry of mine. My worry is our children, or my grandchildren. What are they going to see in the adults in their life? Will they see us truly standing for the Word of God, or just backing down because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings? I love you, folks, and I'm more than willing to hurt your feelings to make you realize that Jesus is our only answer. If that hurts your feelings, it glorifies your spirit. It is the peace that surpasses all understanding. Isn't it amazing? We call those people foreigners. And those people sent a message to America not long ago. And the message was this: do the Christians in America know what's going on over here? Paul would have said, come over to Macedonia. Do the Christians in America know what's going on? And wondering why Christians do not stand up for the truth of God. Many are new Christians. To be a Christian in the middle of an Islamic territory is almost guaranteed certain death. Yet they refuse to renounce their Christ. Have we become so soft that we don't care? God cares because he gave to us another great blessing, our generation, the new Garden of Eden, and the same sin being committed again, eating of the fruit that's forbidden. And we watch our nation collapse, churches closing their door, schools having no way of correcting children, people killing one another just because it was fun. That's not the Garden of Eden that God gave us. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing, Lord. We ask your blessing, knowing that unless it is your blessing within our heart, that we've lost. knowing, Heavenly Father, that You are touching us and encouraging us and telling us, Father, don't worry, for I have already conquered the world. God, thank You for waking us up. I praise Your name, Father, for Your love, the only love that can come and make a difference in our life. Touch each one now. Father, please be with each family. Protect them through Your love as we travel back and forth. We ask now, Father, to touch hearts to stand and make a difference like You've called us to. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.